You're in the Fifth Circuit here, so you're like me. We're the 11th is kind of the child of the Fifth, and we don't get a lot of really good immigration decisions. We get lots of really bad immigration decisions. So if you're practicing removal defense, or even if you're just dealing with the regular runabout stuff in your practice, you have to pay attention to the cases coming out of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. That doesn't mean reading the tear sheets that are coming out of the court every day, but generally, I imagine UT and other law schools publish a quarterly update about the relevant cases that are coming out. You have to pay attention to that. Next, you've really got to go to CLEs and actually pay attention. Up until a couple years ago, you go to the CLE, oh, today's presentation's on 245I. You know, for the last 17 years, you're about the same 245I presentation. Now you come in and say, oh, there's a major update that came out today. So getting those three areas focused are important. Now, the other thing that I do that I find very useful for staying on top of trends is something called Google Alerts. So if you go to Google in your Google account, and you can sign up for alerts, and you can have them send you an email a couple times a day. I do mine at 11 a.m. of the word immigration. So anytime the word immigration appears in a new article, a new post, a new relevant thing, it pops up on my Google alert. And so every morning I'll get an email, and it will be all about what happened in immigration in the last 24 hours. I also have a Google alert on H-1Bs. This probably wasn't the smartest thing that I did. And here's why. During baseball season, you get a whole bunch of baseball articles because the phrase H-1B appears within the box scores for ball teams. So during non-baseball season, it's great. You get all the H-1B stuff. But you can pick whatever topic. You can pick asylum. So anytime the word asylum comes up, and I'll give you a great example of how relevant this is here in Texas, especially if you're involved in asylum work. BuzzFeed has a reporter named Haman Al-Aziz who has some massively awesome sources within the administration. Let's call them, I don't know, the deep state, for want of a better word. And he is constantly pushing out, it seems like every couple of days, a new breaking story as it pertains to what's happening at the border. If I wasn't getting that alert from him and looking for the articles he was writing, I probably would never see them. But they're not going to be on your CNN news feed. They're not going to pop up on the front page of Fox News. Well, they might if they hate immigrants, but bad for immigrants. But they're not going to pop up where you normally see them. You have to dig this stuff out. And Google Alerts is really a great way to make that happen, just to keep your mind fresh about what's going on every day. I would also recommend, if you don't already have a Twitter account, that you get Twitter. And you might think, well, I don't want to go on social media. Well, you could be Pierre Delecto, all right? Nobody else got that. It's Mitt Romney's secret account. Mitt Romney didn't have an account until he revealed he had a secret lurker one. He's Pierre Delecto. Swear to God, that's what he said. You can create an account. Call yourself M-Lawyer Maximus or something like that. And you can then follow people on Twitter. You can follow a word on Twitter. And that just, you can check it every now and then. And if you're, sitting around, got nothing to do, you're, driving in the car, you're stuck in traffic. No, that's illegal in Georgia. Is it illegal here too? But you can, if you got downtime, you can just check in and see what's going on. Next, you want to be on Facebook. Not necessarily to post stuff about yourself, although we'll talk about that in marketing in a bit. But you definitely want to be parts of at least, here's the last count I had, is like 20 different immigration lawyer-focused groups on Facebook. You've got the first one was kind of cool immigration lawyers. People moved away from that one. They wanted to charge you to be a member. And a lot of folks created nerdy immigration lawyers, which I think has something like 3,000 or 4,000 members now. You've got one just called immigration lawyers. You've got ALA members, business immigration lawyers. There's a whole one on 601A waivers. I mean, basically anything you do, there's probably a Facebook group for it. And even if you don't participate in those groups, you get to see the questions people ask and the information that people put up. Again, it's about gathering as much information about what's happening today. This really wasn't that important 2.5 years ago. Today, it's vitally important because we're all in this fight together. The old way of getting information was being an ALA member and then going on ALA InfoNet. Aolinthia is great, or the members' listserv that they had there. And I'm sure people still use that, but it's just so much easier to use social media like Facebook or Twitter to get that information. So those are the areas of information that you should be looking at, where the information is directed to you. It requires really no effort of you to go out and get it. It's put in your inbox every morning. It's on your phone every morning when you wake up and you're in bed and you're trying to wake up and you look at, oh, look, it's on Nerdy Immigration Lawyers today. I will do tell you with a word of caution that if you're not an AILA member, that Facebook is not a valid basis upon which to base a law practice. So it would appear to me that some of the people on Facebook groups think it is. So just be careful about that. You keep everything you get with a kind of a grain of salt as you're on there. But I find them to be very useful to gather information. Plus, the secondary benefit of it is the camaraderie that comes, the snarkiness, the venting that you can do only among your fellow immigration lawyers. If you were like me during the election of 2016, you probably put all kinds of stuff on your regular Facebook page about what an awful nightmare that was going to be. And your spouse or significant other said, would you stop posting stuff? People hate you on Facebook. So my wife made me get off of Facebook in the context of putting political stuff up. She doesn't know I have a Twitter account. So please don't tell her. So now I just pictures of my kids and my grandkids on Facebook. But I use Facebook to get the access to the information that's really widely available. And so, you know, Facebook might not have a lot of other good purposes, but that is certainly one of them.